I can hear you and see you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I don't know what's going on, but we fixed it. Thank goodness.
Well, anytime there's something like this going on, we tell the people in the live chat, start praying, and every single time it comes back. But hey,
the
you
audience,
know what?
We exactly those reasons.
We had technical difficulties before, and man, you know, you are
a... Do you see my light dimming right now?
What's that?
Did you see my lights dimming twice right now?
Yeah, I see that. Is that what's going on? Storm?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
No,
oh, power gone. Drain. They're hacking into they're hacking in to your where you're at.
Yeah, because they really don't want me to really tell your audience about like all of the DC insiders like pushing the UFO or the UAP topic forward. I mean, mm-hmm. Things are ridiculous here in DC. Ridiculous.
Are you in DC now?
No. Right now, I am in a brand new cabin that my husband and I bought in the mountains.
Are you kidding me?
Were past.
Hey, are there any lots around there, man?
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, the one across the street has an amazing, like, amazing little hunting cabin with, you know, two bedrooms. My lights are dimming again. But trust me, we have no neighbors. We are so rural. My husband asked me, he says, this much isolation, are you going to be comfortable with? I'm like, dude, my favorite part.
Wow. He got himself quite a catch for you to do that. And that's awesome, Chase. And we talk about that all the time.
Yeah, well, Daniel, what happened was, like, literally 2 days before we packed a U-Haul to bring our stuff over here, we had rioters looting our, like, T-Mobile store and all these little stores around us, one half a block away from us. We're done.
Wow. And where were you when they were hacking in?
Like, we were right in our apartment. Like, we had a townhouse,
uh-huh.
And we're above stores. Like, in D.C., they do that. Like, you have these stores and all these, and then they build apartments on top. And that's where we were. And it was just ridiculous that they're looting and the violence. And it was just crazy. So, and that was 2 days before we left. So we're feeling pretty fortunate right now.
Okay, so that was in D.C.?
No, that was in Lorton, Virginia.
Lorton, Virginia. Okay. Give me some reference to there. Is that near Richmond or what?
Lorton is literally, I think it's about 10 miles outside of D.C., but it's kind of the suburbs, and it's like 80% Muslim. So there's a big mix of people, and we're okay with that. We're okay with a nice blend. But mm-hmm. Anyway, it was just, it was time to go. We're done with the cities. We're done with all the my husband served 33 years in the military. We're ready to kind of keep it low and just kind of enjoy a little bit of our time.
Yeah, I wish I was able to talk to him more when we met you guys down in Branson there. But now somebody say, they'll say, well, hey, you know, technical difficulties is technical difficulties, but they may not understand what's really going on out here. You know, in fact, I told somebody in the chat, I said, go to your Facebook, go to security, go to blocked users, and put in a search, fact checkers. And a bunch of names come up. And of course, you block them. These are people that are out there that are looking at your content, keeping a record, and who knows what. And then, of course, Twitter is blocking people. I think Donald Trump Jr. just got blocked the other day. Anything, if you have something that says hydroxychloroquine is good, you're getting blocked or banned, or you're getting a cover that says disinformation, you know. There's a war out there, and I've tried to tell people in the Randy Points, it's crazy. You will not believe the extent that these people are going to control everyone.
Absolutely, and all you have to do is listen to Jack Maxey and the War Room Pandemic, and it's, you know, a show on the internet. So it's a podcast every single day at like 10 a.m. And these guys are pulling it from the CCP virus to exactly what's going on. It's so crazy, because then when you look at the CCP virus and the pandemic, and then you go to the locust, the infestation, which is biblical and unprecedented, all over, like East Africa, it's, come on, we have got to be in these end times. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, now the government and other governments admitting that UFOs are real. There's your deception. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is more and more disclosure coming out every day on that. And I want to get to your, for those who have never heard your story, I do want to get to your story where your firsthand contact, close encounter of the third kind. But I did tell you when I reached out to you that my wife and I saw a UFO. So here's the situation now. And I was telling people, I'm a bit tanner today because we were on the beach. And I was getting some sun vitamin D to shoot into my skin to kill the Cooties 19 virus germs. Okay, I had the Cooties 19. Well, I don't know if I had them or not, but I wanted to shoot them with some sunlight and kill them. So I was in the sun quite a bit. So we're talking. We're saying, hey, you know, isn't it great? One of the big positives with all the decrease in planes is less chemtrails. You know, so and then we turned around. And look, there's five planes in the sky, laying it down across the sky, and said, "Man, we just looked in the wrong direction." So we're looking at these planes, Chase, and then out of nowhere comes this white triangular. We call it a UFO at that time, and it's going so fast, it's unbelievable. If you look at a basic plane, a speed, and we've all seen them thousands of times. We know what that looks like. It just comes to us. We don't think nothing about the speed. I would say this is on the order of 10 times that, but I mean, it was just shooting across there, but it had chemtrails. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, UFOs generally don't have chemtrails, but one might say, hey, they're dropping some nanobots. They're dropping some mind control. They're dropping, they're terraforming. I mean, you know, you were related to that movie, Extraordinary, the seating. I mean, who knows what they're up to? So we're watching this thing fly across, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared. Right, we were looking right at it, and we were talking about it. It just disappeared. Now here's the crazy part. If it's more crazier than that, a chemtrail appeared perpendicular to the flight path of this plane, or plane or UFO, whatever it was. So this chemtrail was about maybe 300-400 feet long. It just went poof. It's as if a plane had turned it on, turned it off, but there was no plane. And so the flight path was going this way, and the chemtrail appeared this way. And I think there's no way, because now we've seen two anomalies. One, the plane disappeared. Two, it was going faster than anything we've seen anything fly. And three, chemtrails. And I haven't heard anybody describe that scenario. A chemtrail section appeared on its own, crystal blue sky, with nothing before it and nothing after. Now, so then we're thinking, hey, what? WWCK, what would Chase closely do? Chase would, you ever heard WWCK? Chase would examine the facts.
First, contact like the airports and to find out what air travel was in the air. Mm-hmm. And there's actually apps that do that. So we don't get everything because after 9/11, they don't put everything public about air travel. So we're not going to get military flights and some of those. But we can rule out a lot of the usual suspects. The fact that you saw chemtrails with no vehicle, that's the interesting part, and that's something I've heard before.
Wow,
so
good.
This is what makes a chemtrail versus just, what a plane would normally leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting there. So we researched, Googled triangular white craft, and we came up with something several years ago. Some planes over Texas did fit that description of a triangular looking craft of unknown origin. So we gotta say, well, I mean, you have to use your mind. You can't just say everything is a UFO. So okay, well, maybe it was a secret project plane, but maybe it wasn't. Then I got to thinking about this. I've also heard that UFOs mimic conventional airlines. Have you heard that? Conventional aircraft?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a great little meme that shows a UFO behind like what's looked at as a plane. When we're talking about the kind of technology that they would have, and if they've been here as long as we believe they have since ancient days, and they're monitoring and they're looking, of course they're going to have like mimic our stuff. They're so interested in our nuclear capabilities. And that to me is probably the most interesting. Are they interested because they didn't go that direction, they went a different direction? Are they interested because this is one thing they can't mess with? I don't know, but they have messed with our nukes before, but can they stop it? So there's a lot going on, but honestly, I can't think of a better way for darkness to deceive the most elite, the most intelligent, the most educated, than to have a bunch of UFOs come down and say, "We made you. We're so superior. Here's a cure for cancer. Here's some free technology." And, everybody's just like bowing. And then you look at what Gates is up to with all this new, let's go ahead and get everybody. The only way we could tell if people have been tested is let's just put this little chip in their hand, this little tattoo, and we can scan them anytime they want to do something to make sure that they've followed the protocol. It's scary times out here, Daniel. And, I just think that if you're not being diligent with your soul, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, that's well put there. So the anomalies, and in fact, I think if you think something is of a conspiratorial nature, you're probably closer to the truth than if you tried to justify it or rationalize it into what you're led to believe. And I want to run something past you too, Chase, as well. And it really kind of goes along with the movie Extraordinary, the seeding that you were involved with. But the alien abductions, the sightings, the revelations, the soft disclosure we're seeing now, the Tic Tac videos, what have you. Is it, and then we're talking about maybe perhaps some terraforming involved here. And back at Branson, I remember somebody saying, I think it was it Adams that said they're lowering the temperature because they like to, part of the global warming hoax is that they need a cooler temperature. But how about this? Perhaps we're being trained with masks because we are contagious to them, and it's not for us. It's for them because as a biological entity, we carry so many viruses and germs all throughout our body. Everything we touch, our breath, everything, our eyeballs, everything is just viruses and germs everywhere. Now they come from a place where it's absolutely pristine with nothing there. There's no germs or anything. They've learned to eradicate that. So it's kind of like in the Tom Cruise movie War of the Worlds when the aliens came by, they were destroyed by the organisms. So is it possible that we're being trained to mask to protect them for the others to come?
Over the past couple years since 2017, when we found out that the Pentagon actually had a UFO program that was actively involved, and it continues to this day, by the way, as well as the highly trained military reports coming forward, I wouldn't say anything was out of reach at this point. However, any invasive species, when we invade or we came upon new lands, we brought our diseases with us that
That's
these
true.
indigenous people had never dealt with. So I'm not so sure they're not going to have something, but we all know that the masks protect other people. If you don't have that N9 mask, you're not protecting yourself. It's to protect other people. So there's not a lot of bad stuff to say about that. And there are a few people that honestly believe that in October, we're going to have them make themselves known. So we'll see. I don't personally believe it because I'm so sick of predictions. It's like, but who knows? There's so much going on. The disclosure, the interest from everyone, from Mark Warner, he's a Democrat from Virginia, to Marco Rubio, who literally gave the Pentagon 18 months to give them everything they could. That was through the Intelligence Committee and also the Armed Services Committee, and to make as much of the declassified information available to the public. So now all of a sudden we're seeing this big push of all this information now that DC and our lawmakers are being briefed, now we see some action taking place. And truthfully, the latest New York Times article on July 23rd with Blumenthal and Leslie Keene that actually not only insinuates, I mean, it's kind of funny how, or it's weird how they put it, but that our government has materials from crashed or retrieved materials from UFOs that have been downed. Mm-hmm. What?
Well, interesting about that, Susan said that one of her relatives going to a church, and their pastor was, somebody called up their pastor and said, you need to go outside and look up. And they went outside, and there was four or five discs that were flying around. They were black on the bottom, silver on the top, flying around. I mean, I don't know what kind of disclosure one needs, but, you know, when you see something like that, or when we saw what we saw, or the encounter you had, then your reality's got to adjust. There's got to be a major shift in your reality, and it's nobody wants that. And nobody wants to even fight back against the mask. They don't want to engage with these terrorists running around. You know, people are, you know, trying to back off. Their mind can't accept it, but it's a reality that we find ourselves in, and you could say. You know, somebody will say, well, I warned you. If you go back and you'll get, say, warnings. Okay, well, I warned you this is going to happen out here. Well, what did they do, the warners do, besides warn? I mean, they didn't start a militia. They didn't get people to revolt or sign up for specific, to vote or anything like that. Was there anything that could have been done? Is humanity on a trajectory that no one has control over?
Well, you could say that, except there's enough proof, even in the biblical narrative, that why aren't these pastors standing up? We also know that the Vatican's been bought and paid for by the CCP, the Communist China Party, or China Communist Party, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, these pastors need to stand up and start talking about the possibilities so that their parishioners and the people that trust them are a little more ready. So when this comes in, you can have a little more discernment than just, oh, okay, because the Bible clearly states even the elite will be deceived, and elite meaning the most educated. And when I think, like L.A. Marzulli says, when these pastors aren't talking about this issue, when the government just acknowledged not only are they real, mm-hmm. but we may have materials from crashed UFOs in the past. This is mm-hmm. kept from us. We've been saying it as ufologists. I've been studying this since 1996. Mm-hmm. We've been screaming this. Mm-hmm. I'm the crazy lady, right? Down the road that chased this mm-hmm. until
2017. I think I dearly love Christians, and the church is an awesome thing. It's kept stability and helped so many people, millions of people, has helped so many people. It's kept the country in a good place for so long. But times have started to change. This is where I get a little rough on the church. The church didn't address these things. How is it that abortion became legal with all the churches in the United States? How is it that they're teaching bananas and carrots to little three-year-olds in school, and there's no church around saying, gee, that's weird. Gee, that sounds like sexualization and pedophilia. You know, where are they at? And so I'm a little bit hard on them that way. And maybe it's iron sharpening iron is what I'm really saying. But if you ask a pastor today, well, there's a UFO getting ready to come out, or they're getting what's the answer to it? Well, they'll say, well, we don't talk about that. Well, maybe you should talk about that. What was that? Is that like taboo? I don't get it.
They need to talk about that. The Bible references these advanced crafts consistently through Old Testament and New Testament, and it's even in kind of the other Gospels that didn't make it. So when you're talking about everything from giants, of course it's ridiculous to us these days, but what do we know what it was like back then, right? We are so arrogant in our technological and scientific superiority that we've created our own ego. And it's going to bite us in the butt in the end.
All right, we've got a number of questions coming in for you, Chase. Here's one from Smoke C. It says, Chase, how do we know the facts on global warming are true? There's no way to truly know that there is there?
No, and that's a great question and one that has been debated, and that's why it's still like such a controversial statement, because you're going to have so many people. So when you have science on both sides, it's almost you just have to sit back and just trust your gut, your heart, where you're learning, what's the word, you know, all this stuff that's coming forward. You have got to just rely on that more than what the scientists. I mean, look at Fauci. I don't know how you feel about him, but he needs to shut the F up. Seriously. It's like, dude, you have given us so many contradictions. Masks mm-hmm. are good, masks are not good, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Hydroxychloroquine, you know, and now we're finding out that it is probably could have saved thousands of lives had they used it appropriately and let the doctors in the field actually do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. So it's the times are just so unprecedented that I just remember back as a teenager being told that in the end times, bad was going to be embraced and all goodness was not. And I swear, I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. I rolled my eyes and even dismissed it. And then here we are with like all this Antifa and all that. Who would have thought that these unemployed little millennial spoiled brats would control a nation?
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. blown away.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they are changing laws without a vote. And that goes back to people accepting that as some kind of new normal. Like, okay, well, whatever they want. They don't want statues. They don't want history. They don't want names. They don't want this. They don't want that. You know, it's like they're not saying what they do want. Because I think if they'd let that out of the bag, we'd find out that we'd be in communist Marxist China. You know, we'd be owned by them. But it's a nightmarish thing just to extrapolate where they're going once they wipe everything out. They're not done, no matter what line there is. Now, here in Indianapolis, we have a dirt baseball team called the Indianapolis Indians. It's all a problem now. They're saying, well, we got to have a new name for the Indians. Well, you know what? There's a river that goes right through Indianapolis called White River. That's got to go. I mean, it's like, and I don't even know who came up with the fact that if you have Indian in the name, because we have Indiana, Indianapolis, and the Indianapolis Indians. When did the word Indian being in a word be such an offense? You know, the word, well, you got Indian in that word. It's so horrible. But what is that? Who made that decision?
Right. And I don't want a bunch of elitists, you know, coming from wealth, spoiled little brats telling me what name. Why don't we talk to the Native Americans personally? It was mm-hmm. just like when Aunt Jemima, they said that's got it. It's gone. Like they have to rename it. And the guy he's like, that's my ancestor, like my relatives. Well, it's mm-hmm. a great grandmother. That's her on that bottle. We were honored. Mm-hmm. We never saw it as an insult. So, mm-hmm. you know, when we go to the source on some of these things and, you know, we find out how they feel about some of this, if they don't like it and they're offended, like the Native American community, I get that. But these friggin' little white brats telling me, mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm done. Okay. I'm in my little cabin in the woods, talking to Daniel, listening to your podcast, listening to, you know, War Room Pandemic every day.
I got to write that down. Hey, got something from me. It says, Doug says, hi. Evidently, it's your neighbor from Fort Belvoir up Route 1. You know,
my God. Serious? Hey, Doug.
So, Doug, we had technical difficulties, man. Sorry for the problem. But, you know, man, when Chase comes on, the government tries to stop her, man.
It's crazy because there's so much going on right now, especially in D.C. with the huge push with the Intelligence Committee and the Armed Services Committee. They actually gave the Pentagon 18 months to give me your reports and what you know. And we also want everything declassified because that's going to the public. Mm-hmm. What happens with this? I'm pretty confident. You know, I mean, Marco Rubio is leading this charge, and, you know, he's the Republican representative, or he's, you know, he's the Republican part of the Intel Committee. And all I have to say, guys, we need to take back this freaking house, or you know, the house, and keep the Senate, because Adam Schiff sits in these chairs. Like, the chaos and dismissals that go on between him and Nadler are just ridiculous. And we really need to start pushing forward a truthful agenda and let the people who pay their salaries know what's going on. And I think this is, it's happening. It's great. And we have to credit to the Stars Academy. This was all about a dreamer and government insiders. None of these guys are UFO people. None of them. The dreamer is Tom DeLonge, who thought, wow, what if we got the right people at the right places at the right time? And he did it. And then you have the government insiders like Chris Mellon. Oh my gosh. So if you're Marco Rubio, or you're sitting in the probably the greatest chamber in the world, right? The lawmakers section. Who are you going to want to talk to? Chris Mellon or Steve Bassett? Really?
Yeah, well
said. They want nothing to do with the UFO community. This is all about government insiders, government witnesses, and this is the only reason this has come out, and it's on CNN, like all the mainstream media. It's now, we can talk about this. It's the craziest thing, Daniel. It's nutty.
Well, I saw a meme the other day, and it was, now, of course, we know about the phenomena of alien abduction, but the meme was, there's a UFO above a guy, and he was yelling up, abduct me, get me out of here, man. Get me out of 2020. Because 2020 is going down as the weirdest, stupidest, scariest, freakiest, every name you can think of. Nobody's going to ever want to go have a repeat of 2020. And we still got half of it to go. So who knows what's coming?
I was just going to say, too, that, you know, prophecy, if prophecy is it's not going to get much better.
Right. And people do have to make decisions. And I think the longer they wait on the decisions, it could be to their detriment. Okay. Somebody said the website is not broadcasting the show. So I'm going to make an adjustment here. We're streaming on YouTube. I think when we restarted, it may have changed the settings on that. But Chase, what do you see ahead for the UFO community?
I see more information coming out, but it's going to be dripped. And I really believe that, you know, even July 23rd, when the New York Times ran another article from Blumenthal and Leslie Kane, talking about they believe that the government has debris from unknown craft, not from this earth. And how this escapes people. This should be like the biggest topic in the world right now. And for some reason, it's, you know, the COVID-19 and, you know, just everyday people trying to survive or, you know, get through their daily routines. They're just not paying attention. But I think they had a lot more that they wanted to put out. And it's almost like the editors. In fact, they admitted the editors kind of said, let's take it down a notch. The public's not ready for all of this. So we're going to see more and more come out. But the one thing is, nobody's going to walk back that these aren't real.
Wow. Right.
And that's a reality.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a reality to accept, because nobody is coming out saying, oh, my God, who said that? That's crazy. It's wrong. There's nothing out here. They're completely admitting that UFOs are real.
For someone who says, well, I've lived my whole life not knowing, not caring, and I don't care if UFOs are real. Is there any reason they should be concerned that they are real?
No, I think if most people, you know, are comfortable with, I don't want to say their head in the sand, because that's not correct. I think if some people are just going to live their life as fate allows it, I'm okay with that. I think it's almost an individual decision. Like, what do? You know, like some of us, do we get food storage or we don't bother? There are worse things than dying in a major apocalypse than trying to survive it. So, I'm okay. Like, I think it's an individual thing, and everyone has the right to decide what they want to worry about and what they don't.
Well, that is true. Now, I purposely, being out for a week, did not look at the news. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to wreck my time off at the beach, wherever else I went, looking at it, because it's just too much. It's just, I don't want to think about it. So I'm really kind of a little on the downside of the news, but I already know how much news has already happened. So, and I think, well, I do want to have an effect, and I do have to stand up and have to have my voice heard. At the same time, I'm not going to consume so much evil news that it begins to affect my psyche. And of course, with bad news and terrible things comes fear, and you've got to fight the fear. The Bible is clear on that issue. While it does talk about apocalyptic issues, it also is clear that we should not be fearful, even in the midst of these things, although those people who are not connected to any sort of grounding, the Bible says that their hearts will fail for fear of things coming on the earth. And I would imagine there's a foundation in almost every American's heart, maybe worldwide, of this fear of what they'd seen already, what they suspect is coming, and that fear on that for them is going to build, and it could end up to that level. The rest of us, maybe we need to know what's going on, try to affect change to the good, still help out our neighbor, still love people, but be aware, but not let the fear consume us.
I have to admit, I was a, Fox News OAN junkie. Like, that's all I cared about. It's the only TV I watched. And probably the last month, I barely turn it on anymore. I get it. We're in chaos. I know where we are right now. And, I get notifications on my phone if something big happens, so I'm not going to miss anything. But this every day, Trump sucks, this happens, oh my gosh, Nancy Pelosi, what, I'm done. I can't take any more of it. And I think there's nothing wrong with walking away with it, walking away from it, and keeping some mental stability, but also to make sure that you're connected enough that if you need to pay attention, you can.
Yeah, okay. That's a good way to hit it that way. I've got a question from Australian Ben. He says, Chase, will we reach synchronicity in 2024? Will Trump drop the hammer and make it happen?
Synchronicity, that's a tough one, because it would be nice if things like this would happen. And we already experience, most people experience a little bit of that synchronicity, but I wouldn't put a date on it. I'm not comfortable putting a date on it, because I'm a forensic expert, that's what I do. I don't do the whole CE5, Stephen Greer kind of crap, where it's all consciousness and oh, I was touched, but you can't prove that. It's like, I only care about evidence, because that's what's going to make anyone in the whole world understand that we have admissible types of information to hand to the audience. But so the prediction, but who knows? And I love that question. Thank you so much.
For anyone who's watched the show, by the way, we refreshed our website, so you can watch the show from our website again. I know most people are watching through our streaming YouTube channel, and they're probably listening on either iTunes or TuneIn Radio channel as well. Well, Chase, what sort of preparation should somebody make mentally or physically or psychologically for an out-and-out revelation or and/or contact with human governments?
You really have to pay attention to what's going on, especially with the disclosure that is drifting out consistently. They just said that we are in possession of crashed UFO material. They said it supposedly, like there was a way they kind of softened it up a little. But are you kidding me? What they just said, not only are these, things in our sky that we can't explain, now they're telling us that the government has a piece. It's, I think everybody just needs to get ready and just, find that piece in your, I don't want to say religion, but it's, in your heart and soul, where you're very comfortable, and stand on what you believe. No matter what it is, stand on it. Stand on it.
All right. We have this question from Kevin Utterberger. It says, Chase, what do you think about David Whitlock and Corey Good on Gaia Cosmic Disclosure Network, this whole 20 and back program in this supposed secret space program?
I don't think much about any of it. I am not fans of either one of them. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, as somebody that worked for the Department of Defense that created programs on, you know, to enhance special ops type of physical ability, mental ability, I'm looking at Corey Good and saying, wait a minute, you're our elite? I don't effing think so, dude. I don't. Please, you look at a Fravor, like some of the people I work with, whether it was SEAL teams, pilots, there's something about them that, you know, they know what they're doing. Corey Good, get the F out of here, buddy. Seriously. Well, and Wilcox, oh my gosh, please. I have no room for them. None. I have no respect for them either. I hope that doesn't get me in trouble with your audience, but that is a truthful answer.
You mentioned a previous guest we had on a program in our communications prep for the show, and suggested that this lady who's involved with UFO matters may be sort of embellishing. Do you want to comment on that, or do we want to leave that alone?
Oh, I'm going to tell you that lady is bat crap crazy. Everyone knows it. She's completely lost her reputation in ufology by her own words personally. And, you know, I don't want to say too much because she's, you know, evil and a stalker. Like, she's like, whoa, wants revenge. But what I'm really going to say is, you know, we really need to be very discerning about who we're listening to and who we're not. And when you have people that, you know, want to start on, you know, oh, this is my title, and they've never done a darn thing about it or in it in any way, shape, or form. You look at Steve Bassett. He's like, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years. Dude, you never had a single appointment with a single lawmaker, not even a junior associate or intern. So why are you bragging about that? Because the only people that have done this is To the Stars Academy, and it is the government insiders. And if you don't have a security clearance, you're not being brought to the table. So these people, oh, I'm a lobbyist. You know, it's like, please. Mm-hmm. Back to the hole, because you've never had an appointment. You've never had an audience. You've never, you know, so we just have to be careful, because honestly, it's not as, I don't know. I don't know what the percentages would be, but there's a lot of crazy here too. So when you're talking about the UFO community, and that's why we have a hard time getting, you know, the recognition of, you know, our information and our scientific agenda, is because we have crazy people too. And there's lots of them.
Gee, I've never had a batshit crazy guest on this program ever. Well, wait a minute. I think the longtime viewers will take issue with that statement. But hey, it adds flavor to the show. So I do admit that occasionally we'll have one. I think he may. Now, this is this person we're talking about was a protege of Steve Bassett, correct?
Correct.
All right, and she also.
And talking about 1 month of protege. So, you know, people want to talk up, and you know, they want to talk about their title. And yet nobody's holding them to the information they can bring to the table. I can bring tons of information, you know, just the DNA and, you know, some of the things that we've done before, but also, you know, a lot of my investigations that are on my website to the field reports with an S.com. You can go in and look at a lot of my reports and things I've done, not all of it, but a lot of it.
Well, so, to finish up a thought, I think, She did not mention that she was having a sexual relationship with the reptilians. So I think that maybe because she thought it might decrease her credibility. So she wanted to have an air of credibility. But had I known before the show, we would have found out. We would have got to the bottom of that. All right, let's get to another question here for you from Space Cow. It says, Chase, do you want to come to Alberta, Canada and hunt UFOs? There's a lot of them up here.
I would love to be there. Are you kidding? I can't wait for this COVID whole thing to stop, because it has completely interfered with traveling and, you know, a lot of our investigations. We can't get out there. there's a big thing going on in Georgia. I can't go there because Georgia is one of the states that if I come back, I have to quarantine for 14 days. It's just craziness. I would love to be in Canada and do some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day soon, I'll get a chance to just be able to get in my car or a plane and go up there with my kids.
Wow. I sure hope you. So right now you can't get out in the field.
Not really. There's a few things we can do, but when it comes to the big investigations and canvassing and the way I work just like, you know, a UFO investigation is no different from a robbery or a homicide. I canvass, I'm looking for, you know, surveillance video at a 7-Eleven or whatever's around them. And, you know, it's, you just can't have that much contact. People are nervous right now.
Yeah.
And
it's
yeah,
crazy. There are people, you're liable, if you walk into an establishment without a mask, you're liable to get attacked.
Yeah, and even here in our little world, you know, I love it. There's a sign, I put it on Twitter. It says, you must be wearing a face mask to enter the building. W-E-R-A-I-N. I love this town.
Yeah,
okay. I love it so much.
All right.
But,
hey.
Yeah, I mean, you're...
Okay, so... I've got a zoom in on the cover of your book, Admissible, and it appears to be a Bigfoot. Now, he's in our background right now. He's looking like he's going. He obviously looked like a passion video. He looked like he's going somewhere. So now you're up there in the woods now. You're in a cabin. Are you having any Bigfoot activity out there?
We're not having Bigfoot, but we have bear. And that kind of freaks me out a little, but, you know, because I'm kind of a city girl. So being out here in the country, my husband's really good at it. I'm not. So there's a few things, but we have bobcats, we have bear, we have elk. We watched a mama deer and her baby walk right through our front yard the other day. We are so rural, and we back up to a federal park, and
oh, nice.
That we have it all. We have it all up here, and I love it. We don't go outside without something on our hip, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. because it's safety. Everything from the rattlesnakes on, but... I'm really having a good time up here.
Wow. Okay, let's get to a couple more questions. Says from Smoke C, was 9/11 the beginning of the takeover and handover? I suppose of the United States government? I don't know.
You know, that is a great question, and a lot of people believe that. I don't really mess so much in you know, kind of the conspiracy. I really work on things that have physical evidence and things I can work, but it's not uncommon theory. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Do you believe in angelic beings?
Yes, abso-friggin-lutely. And I believe that this is not only just a cosmic, I don't want to say war, but whatever's going on. But I also believe that there is, you know, things coming from other planets, or if they're not, then it's got to be a deception, right? It just mm-hmm. it just makes sense. So, you know, anybody telling you they know what it is for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Chase. Now you can't see me, right?
I can see you. Yes.
Can you see the background?
Yes, it's green.
It's green? Okay, that's a green screen.
I see a green screen.
Okay, that's a green screen. Well, this is a green screen. I think people got that figured out. But that's not what people are seeing. So they've been seeing your book. They've been seeing pictures. They saw a Bigfoot. But you can't see this, so that's kind of sad. But I'm going to have you comment on it. I'm going to get out of the picture so the audience can just see just this. Now, you know about the Tic Tac videos, right? The Navy.
I sure do.
Okay. Well, somebody took a still and zoomed in on that there. And I'm going to bring it up for the people, and we're going to see what we can see. They zoomed in pretty close. Okay, got it up on screen. Now, on the left side of the screen, maybe you have to watch the video, after, you know, watch the show later. But it is the Tic Tac video on the left. They zoomed in on the right, which is a zoom in. It appears to be the USS Enterprise. I'm just saying, not sure how that happened, but a little brevity there, a little levity there. But no, it could be. I mean, you know, let me ask you this. Do you think UFOs time travel?
It's a possibility. There's a lot of very credible people out here that are researching, like Peniston and Burroughs. And Peniston absolutely believes they're us from the future. And I'm not so sure that's not accurate if we didn't already have an advanced blueprint for exactly what's going on, which is a biblical narrative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it, but us from the future, that would be kind of cool, but wouldn't they help us? Wouldn't they, you know, wouldn't they be a little more interactive? Because right now, all I'm seeing, like when you witnessed with Extraordinary the Seeding, mm-hmm. these people, I don't know any abductee that their life got better, not one single one. So, and everything they do is secret. We're not in on it. They say, this is good. This is good for humanity. You're contributing to this, you know, bigger picture. But they don't tell you what that picture is. You know, there's got to be a chase right in there every once in a while. It's like, hey, dude, okay, you've been telling me this for like 2 weeks, and why don't you start giving me details? Because I'm not buying this anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's true, too. Now, some of the ufologists we've had on the program are always talking about that the aliens are here to help. And I said, well, I ain't seen their help. I mean, you know, hey, we got Cooties 19 running around. We're still using fossil fuel. I don't see them doing anything, man. It seems like they're just aggravating people. Australian Biz says, Chase, can horror films prepare us for the frightful things that are soon to appear?
You know, I tend to be more about that. But, you know, I think there's, you know, if these are beings from another world, they've got to be just like us. There's good, there's bad. You know, who's to say it's just angels, just cosmic, or just, you know, aliens from another being coming here on a, you know, full tank of gas and a Red Bull. It's just really, we're really at the time now where at least we're admitting, and this is what we spent most of my career proving, they're real. Mm. Now the next question is, who are they? And literally, what do they want? We have thousands of sincere, truthful abductees, and I'm not seeing it. And then you have people like David Jacobs, who has interviewed thousands, mm-hmm. maybe hundreds, maybe I'm mm-hmm. exaggerating. I'm not really sure the number, but you know, he's known for this. Mm-hmm. And his definitive, after all these years, and I'm talking decades, of, you know, these interviews and everything he does with them, that says it's not good for us. So anybody that's been deeply engaged in the research will tell you, not really, it's not good for us. Now you have your, you know, your Greers and your, you know, other people that, you know, Wilcox, Corey Good, you know, also mm-hmm. know that they make their money mm-hmm. on a following. So mm-hmm. it's you know, and I know there's people out there that love these guys that, you know, mm-hmm. don't like when I say that and will block me or whatever. Mm-hmm. Please do so. Thank you.
So you're saying if I have a guest on who's talking about aliens and they say for $10.99, I make something called Orgon, like an Orgon blaster or a pendant or something to ward them off, that might be not truthful?
No, and you know what? Research has proven that. The only proven, or something we've heard from hundreds and hundreds of abductees, the only thing that stops an abduction or an experience with these is invoking the name of Jesus Christ. And every single one, whether it's Yvonne Smith or Kathleen Martin, you know, who are into the abductions, but they're not the biblical narrative people or the mm-hmm. prophecy right, community, right. But they'll tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that works. Not Muhammad, not, you know, like Joseph Smith. It's like, you know, it's the name of Jesus Christ is the only thing that stops it. And I, as an investigator, have to pay attention to that because we've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. And if they're saying it works, we need to look into that.
Mm. Yeah, somebody sent me some Orgon bricks.
$10.99. Yeah. Tell them for $10.99, I don't need your stuff. I have the name of Jesus Christ.
It's free.
That I can invoke.
And I would agree with you. The same, you know, I've been doing this show since 2004. You can imagine that this is like the thousand something show. The amount of times I've heard people say the name of Jesus. And as you said, and I'll back you up, even non-believers, it's like, well, you know that works. maybe you ought to look into the name. There's something about that name, you know, but they look at it like, well, it's their defense and it really works. And you're thinking, well, is something going on in your mind saying this works? Then what is that name? And you think as a logical person, they would investigate that. But most times they just don't. They just say it as a matter of fact.
Right. Absolutely. And it's just interesting, the psyche of us as humans and how we adapt or how we react to some of these things. And I love Whitley Strieber, but it's one of the first books I ever read, and it scared the wahibis out of me. And it was called Communion. Mm-hmm. And he said it was the most horrific. It was demon. It was the most horrible experience. And now he's saying, you know, more like, well, it was good for me. It's like what we do with our pets. Dude, Stockholm syndrome much? This is not good. Anything that takes away our agency and we don't have a choice is evil. God gave us an agency. God gave us a right to choose. And when that's taken away, it's sin.
Well, wait a minute now. Isn't Whitley Strieber the guy who said a doctor told him something happened on the back door?
I'm not sure, because I kind of, like, once I followed him, I spoke with him Ozarks.
All right. No, I thought I heard either Art Bell or somebody. I don't even want to go there. All right. But anyway, wasn't good. All right. So we've got Bill Gates out there, and he's all about this COVID, cooties 19, as I call it. And then we've got the Elon Musk out there with chips in the brain. I mean, people are trying to change the nature of humans and the DNA of humans as well. You know, you mentioned earlier in the first hour about so is the days of Noah, so shall be when Son of Man. That, you know, the hybrids and the giants and the freaks. There's freaks coming out all over. For one thing, these freaks are running around with the name Anifal. Okay, but if you zoomed in on them people, it's like, what happened to you, dude? You know, these people are just beyond description. But there's weirder stuff going on out there. Everybody's trying to create a hybrid human. So there's going to be some freaks running around. Interestingly enough, if everyone is masked up, Chase, nobody's going to know who the alien hybrid is.
Absolutely. And, you know, is this a coincidence? I really don't believe in coincidences. I believe more in fate. So I believe that in most things that happen are leading us to where it's leading us, whoever the most powerful is at that time. And is our DNA going to be changed? I have a question, Daniel, because, you know, we heard of pharaohs that ruled for thousands of years, and Moses was, what, 800 and something? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we don't live that long.
Right.
So did God change our DNA? We've been changed and reset before. That's my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you're certainly entitled to that. There was some kind of change where evidently humans lived for hundreds of years, but something changed. All of a sudden now it's less than 120. So I would agree. There was a significant change there. I think the promise is that we'll go on to an eternal type of life, which is we're all hoping for that. And, of course, hopefully that life will be without an Antifa faction. question says, Chase, is the looking glass a real thing?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
The question is the looking glass a real thing?
It is. It is. In my humble opinion, it is. In the evidence that I have, it is. In the research I've done, it is. And it's something we have to accept, the reality of where things are going, and we really, really need to focus in and pay attention.
Once we are focused in, what course of action can the average person take to make a difference?
I think they need to, like, search what they're comfortable with. You know, if they're putting out these mandatory vaccines that is a mark on your hand, like what is Bill Gates's and MIT, you have to research MIT making these multi-needle tattoos for your hand that will show that you have been tested, you're clean, you're good to go, and all sorts of other things. We have to just start. Unfortunately, I didn't think I'd have to do it in my lifetime. We may have to make a decision. Where mm-hmm. we go here? Mm-hmm. What are we comfortable with? Mm-hmm. And like I said, there are worse things than surviving apocalypse.
Well, that is clear too. I mean, they're on the darker side. The apocalyptic revelations describe a time when people will have their heads cut off for the name of Jesus, and to not have fear is something that shows the world that there's something inside you that maybe they need to look into as far as their own self-help type of thing. But perhaps if someone contemplated the horrors, and we mentioned earlier not to do that too much, but I mean, at least it should be considered that when the vaccine comes out, are you going to take it? You know, if there's a mark, a laser mark, are you going to take it? Okay, and then I think if one settles it in their heart, whether they are or whether they're not, kind of premeditates they're not, or they will look acquiesce, who knows. But I think if they think about it, make a decision, and you said earlier, really, take a stand and just stay with that stand, because we've only got so much time on this earth anyway. So if your life gets cut a little short, you get to heaven a little faster. And by all views that I've seen on this program, and I'm sure you've talked to so many people, that there's an afterlife and there's a spiritual life, and it's as real as this one is too, as well.
Absolutely. And you remember in Branson listening to, I love this guy from Australia talking about the AI. Mm-hmm. So how firm are we going to be when all of a sudden this mark gives your kids complete immunity against disease and helps them be smarter and faster? And you're the one that doesn't let your kids have it, but they have to compete with all the kids that do. Uh-huh. Well, how strong are people going to be? So this isn't just going to be a get the mark or not. This is going to be brutal psychological warfare to make sure people do what they want them to do. Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to want their kids to be the slow one and the one picked on and eventually drop from curriculum because mm-hmm. they're stupid or yeah. they're not good enough. And that's an emotional tag, mm-hmm. I think, on any parent. So we have to think bigger than just yes or no. Mm-hmm. I'll take the mark, I won't take the mark, or I'll take that tattoo, I won't. I'll take the vaccine, mm-hmm. I won't. It's going to be bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And they are ready for a bigger. We're not. Mm-hmm. We don't even see what's coming.
Right. And when I said earlier about the possibility of the masking of the planet is preparation for an alien landing of sorts, or intermingling of humans and aliens together to keep our stuff away from them. Somebody would say that's got to be the most bizarre conspiracy theory I've ever heard. But in this world, dude, that's straight on. that's straight up stuff right there. Because in 5 years, you know, look what's happened. Look where we are. Okay. The craziest stuff you could imagine is 10 times what your crazy was 10 years ago.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, and I think I said this the last time I was on your show, which is, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm the crazy lady down the road that, you know, investigates UFOs and, you know, tracks down Bigfoot, or, you know, if you don't know what it is, I'm going to go look. Today, Daniel, I'm the hottest chick on the block. Everyone wants to know what I know. Everyone wants to know what I've done. Everyone wants to tell me their story. So, you know, who would have thought after, you know, in just a short period of time, that not only is the government and other governments around the world admitting, okay, we have things in our sky we can't explain. That in itself should be jaw-dropping. I mean, people should be sitting back in their chair and can't move for 5 minutes. And then you have the next step of the suggestion that governments have material from craft that have crashed before, which, by the way, completely exonerates Bob Lazar. So it's like, you know, but who would have thought? And how does this really slip through everybody every day? Is it because the pandemic is such a big topic? Is it there always seems to be something bigger? And yet all mainstream media, CNN, NBC, MSNBC, OAN, like all these guys are putting this information out there. Mm-hmm. And you'd think people would pay more attention.
Right.
Because this is huge. It's huge. It's like, dude, our government just said our president is being briefed on national security issues because these things are interacting with our military, our nuclear sites, and our battle groups to this day. He's being briefed, and we're just kind of sitting there like, What?
Well, I can only hope that we're going to see some of the technology used, back engineered technology used for the benefit of mankind. I mean, it seems like it takes forever. I mean, somebody could say, hey, your cell phone is reverse technology, or, night vision is reverse alien technology. But, I'm thinking, man, there's got to be something more they got that we could have some fun with down here, make life a little bit better. They can't just be hoarding that technology.
Yeah, well, fiber optics is another one that is allegedly reverse engineer. But I'm with you, Daniel, because for me, where's my food replicator like we see on Star Trek, where I can
Right.
walk up and it's completely nutritious algae or whatever, but I want it to taste like steak. I want steak. They give me steak. I want lobster. Give me lobster. I'm so sick of cooking. Like, I want my friggin' food replicator.
That's funny. Well, I never even thought about that. I want my food replicated. I never have to cook again. Yeah, steak all the time and lobster and shrimp. And I'm looking for the perfect shrimp dinner, man. I've been on the hunt for a long time. You're hunting for Bigfoot, and I'm hunting for shrimp. So I don't know. All right, let's get another question going on for you. Put Yahweh first says, Chase, can we bump off people who get the mark? Is he
Can
calling for
we bump off
violence?
people? Honestly, I think at a certain point they're going to be so protected and part of the majority that people that don't will be the minority. And there's not much we can do except be the silent minority, if that makes sense. Because right now, most of us aren't going to talk about who we really want to vote for or what we're doing on socials because, you're just plummeted or whatever if you care about that stuff. And I just really think it's going to just be a silent minority.
I think there's going to be a merger. Now, I mentioned Elon Musk earlier, but he's creating what's called a neural link. They're wanting to connect a chip via C cable to the human brain. Eventually, I can imagine that we're going to have a plug-in, Chase, and we just plug right into a computer. We're going to merge with the computer. I mean, that's the goal. You can see it coming. Google's trying to do it. Microsoft's trying to do it. Elon Musk, that freak looks like that dude looks like some kind of horror show dude himself. I don't know about that, but I mean, and imagine if you get connected to a computer, somebody could hack your body, to make you go out there and kill somebody or go steal something and bring it to them and then wipe you clean, and you wouldn't even know you did it. So that's dangerous to me. You could be hacked. Your body could be hacked.
Well, that's already happened in the Manchurian Candidate, if you think about that. But I agree. Like, I'm already a data refugee. I didn't get my first friggin' computer until my mid-30s. And, where my kids have always had it. So, they're different than we are. Like, I am, like, kind of, it's fun, but I'm horrible. Like, terrible at this tech because I'm a refugee. Like I'm being dragged into it because this is, how we communicate today. Even our cell phones have more technology than they had when they went to the moon back in the 60s. So, this is it's just a fun time to be. Having me plugged into a computer, probably not going to happen. Just like me, really not getting involved with the dark web or, certain kind of, other searches or whatever. I only go so far, I'm good.
Are your children going to school, or are you homeschool?
Oh no, my kids go to school. Well, first of all, my children are all grown. My oldest son just retired from the Navy, so
Wow.
they're all grown with kids,
Okay.
wives and
Okay.
families, but
Okay. Because
they go to
I wanted to know if how that you know how are people, because here in this town, you can send your kids to school or you could do online. But I can't imagine, from what I understand, the kids got to stay at the same desk all day long, maybe in an envelope of some kind. They got to bring their food in that little area and they can't move. I mean, it's some creepy stuff.
Yeah, that's something where honestly, my daughter-in-laws, because I'm a mother of boys, my girls, they are so conscientious. They're like really great moms. So, if the kids are unhappy or in any way, shape, or form, they'll yank them and homeschool. And I think it's important, especially my little grandkids. Like my oldest is 17; he'll be 18 this year, and my youngest is 3. So. These kids, it's just, I'm scared for them sometimes. I really am. And I think that nothing's going to hold them together more than family. Like, we stick together. My youngest son is a Marine. He's stationed in 29 Palms. They live on base, and I'm happy about that because they're secure, but they're so far away. So now everybody's tending to migrate back here because the family unit's going to be one of our greatest strengths, one of them.
Which is probably one of the reasons the family unit is under such attack. It's like there's multiple fronts of attack, and even
Oh my God.
isolating family members from each other, where one guy dies and he gets six funerals, another guy dies and you say your whole family can't even visit him. You can't be even near, you can't go even go to hospice when they're dying, because it's so bad, it's so terrible, It's like, wait a minute, man, something's wrong there. And in fact, it's one rule for me, one rule for thee. In DC, they passed a masked edict, but they gave a waiver to all the people in government. Everyone else has to wear them. So what does that mean? The people in government get to spread cooties 19 and kill people, but the regular folk can't? I mean, what's up with that?
Well, it was about, Cavuto going down to Georgia and coming back, and he didn't wear a mask. I mean, the social distancing wasn't there, but he goes back to New York and there's no mandatory two-week. They just, the haves and have-nots. And unfortunately, law-abiding citizens, or if you're not in that position of power, really kind of finding ourselves as the have-nots. It's not about money anymore, it's about power.
Right, and you got that freaky Fauci going to a baseball game where he's in the stands without a mask and not social distancing. And now, Chase, he's talking about people wearing goggles. What's that all about?
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. And you see the videos too of the doctors coming out, the actual boots on the ground, the frontline people that are dealing with coronavirus, saying that it's herd immunity. We shouldn't be paying attention to how many people are tested positive. We need to pay attention to the mortality. And this is something that I agree with, because of course we're going to have more. A higher rate because we're testing everybody. You can't go hardly anywhere. I just got a email from my favorite forensic place is Arrowhead Forensics, and they now have personal kits. And it's swab tests. It's not up the nostrils or anything, because now they
Oh,
have a
good.
saliva test, 100% FDA. I mean, this is for law enforcement and medical personnel, and they're selling them. And I just thought it was crazy that it's that available at that point. And of course the numbers are going to be high. What we need, and they're making that a big deal, and that's not the big deal. That's laughable.
Now, do you suspect, as I do, and most people I know, that there's going to be another lockdown?
Probably. I know the Dems want that more than anything in the world. And because this is just something that is so out of control, and why people didn't embrace and surround the president with the best advice he could give for an entire nation, if not the world, and just really just hate him more than they love this country, or hate him more than they love a cure or what's best for us, is unspeakable. And it's one of the reasons that I just really feel that things are just deteriorating so quickly, we can barely keep up.
Yeah, really, it goes back to the news reports. It's like, how worse is it today? Because yesterday's news was
Yes.
bad, and it's going to be worse today. And my inbox and my Facebook Messenger, and I'm trying to figure out how to just stop it, filled with must-see, before it gets deleted video, you're not going to believe this, what the F, look at this, I've seen him. And then, of course, then other people repeat them, and everybody wants me to see them because I'm kind of a face guy out here in media land. But man, it's like, I know it's bad. I know it's going to be worse. I know tomorrow it's going to be 10 times worse than the video I saw yesterday. What am I supposed to do, man? I can't do nothing about it.
Well, you are doing something about it, because you're bringing out like the truth and the reality that, the people that, with what you believe is true, which is awesome, because, the majority, I mean, we have to keep our family structures. We have to keep, morality, and not thinking it's okay to rob somebody and decimate their business they work so hard for. That's not fun. It's not funny, guys. Stop it. And I just see like things going so crazy, and in that chaos, a deception will be easy to pull off, especially when that deception unites us and stops a lot of this, blah, blah, blah. It's just a perfect setup right now.
Yeah, setup is a really good word. We don't got too much time left, and I want to know if you just, could you give an abbreviated telling of your third counter, the counter of the third kind, for the people that's not heard it?
I have a really great case that, you know, a very credible witness in Tennessee. It's back in 2010, and there's a lot of details I'm going to have to skip over, but so I don't want people to think, you know, like I left something out on purpose or changed my story. But typically, really, it was a great case. We get out there, and this was after the historic flood, biblical flood in Tennessee from Nashville to Memphis. Everything was underwater. So we had to wait a little bit, but we finally got a call from a witness. He's like, Chase, you got to get out here. This is exactly how things start. This might be a good night. This might be it. And I'm like, I'm so ready to go. So I grab my kit and I hit the road. I pick up another investigator who is a STAR team investigator. We get to the property, and as soon as we get there, he's waiting for us. He's telling us, come on, come on. It's already going on. Look at this. So he brings us to the end of his driveway, and we look up. And sure enough, there's these lights, and they're like a cluster, and they all come together and they work together. And then boom, like they all separate, and they're doing their own thing, and then they come together. And if you got sick of watching this group, look around, because there's like five others, like they're all over the place. And, you know, I don't want to take my eyes off them, but I've also got, you know, my iPad just going nuts, like satellites, you know, ruling out all the usual suspects. Where's the ISS? What's going on here? But I had already felt like that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And it was. So at that point, the witness said, hey, look, I've got this huge cornfield, and it's huge, hundreds of acres. And it gives us a panoramic view because everything's just flat. And we can walk out there because the corn is only like, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches. So it's pliable. So we're not going to hurt his crops. So we're like, sure. So we get in a big old monster truck, and we go driving down there. We get in the field. I'm setting up equipment. And it wasn't long before the witness was very excited, saying, oh, my God, Chase. Oh, my God, here it is. This is exactly what I hoped happened. Please, please. Like, oh, my God. Like, he was just freaking out almost. And I looked up, and where he was pointing, I saw this white light. Sure enough, it's kind of coming towards us. And then I see two more pop in, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's three of these objects. And then it was very clear, the closer it got to us, that they were part of one structure and not three separate structures. And I'm watching this huge, huge triangle block out stars. It's just the way it moved. It was like you just knew it wasn't ours. It doesn't float, slide. I you can't even describe how it moves. Completely silent. So I'm picking up my cameras. I had four different makes and models there, and none of them are working. They're all like completely dead. I pick up my tri-field meter. I'm trying to get any kind of evidence because that's what I specialize in, and that's all I care about. Like, me seeing this doesn't mean nothing. I need pictures. I need, you know, video. I need, you know, readings. So everything was completely dead. So we continue to watch this humongous triangle go out of sight. And, you know, eventually it leaves. I did get a snap a couple pictures with it being way, way out. But, of course, lights in the sky, they're always going to be just lights in the sky. So anyway, I'm so frustrated at this point that I decided, looking at my equipment again, I realized it's all back online. This wasn't battery drained, which is very normal in, you know, paranormal and UFO type things. Everything's back on. Well, I wasn't going to trust it. I wanted to change my battery. So I started changing my tri-field meter. And then all of a sudden, I just had this feeling, and I turned around and looked. The witness was in back of me, probably 8 feet. The other investigator way further than that, and because she's already feeling like she needs to call the state director, so she's already walking towards the truck, because now we've become witnesses. Huge triangle. So I just remember saying, "Does anyone else feel like you're being
Chase,
watched?" And I said, "I don't mean from up here."
let me interrupt you. Your sound sounds like you're talking from an alien ship. It just, yes. Did anybody hear that? It was crazy. It's going to be on tape, so you can hear it. But I want this story to get out, so I'm going to hang up and call you back because, yeah. Okay, let me do that. All right. Wow. You guys hear that? That's interference right there. Okay, that is interference. Hello, Chase.
Yes.
You're back. Man, you'll have to hear this. Play this tape, but okay, roll back a little bit, just a little bit.
Okay. So, at this point, I'm feeling just really uneasy, like we're being watched. So I made the comment and I said, "Does anyone else feel like you're being watched?" And I don't mean from up here. And it was at that moment, at that exact moment, this fear, it was terror. I don't know how to describe it other than it was physical, and it went straight in your body, and every cell in your body knew what severe, unexplainable terror felt like. I can't even explain the horror. And I just remember turning and I started running. I noticed the witness turned the same way and he started running too. And I just remember watching this light in front of me doing this, 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 this. This is all I remember. And then all of a sudden, bam, I hit something that felt like a brick wall. And it turned out to be the witness. And he had stopped and he goes, "What the F is that?" And he had a one of those big halogen kind of hunter lights, flashlights in his left hand. And of course, that's what I was seeing as we're running. And he swung it like his left arm, like, and with that flashlight. And not 6 feet from us is this little gray just standing there looking at us. That's it. So we see this, and I'm not thinking anything at this point, but later on I kind of thought, wow, to be from complete darkness in this cornfield out in the middle of nowhere in Back Road, Tennessee, no light pollution whatsoever, and to be that kind of dark and all of a sudden have one of those halogen lights in your face at just six about 6 feet away, and you don't squint, you don't flinch, you don't do anything. So there was a part of me that described this being as like just like stoic and mechanical until you got to the eyes. And when you look straight in the eyes, 100% biological. It's just hard to explain. But it really was like 1/1002. And then we're running again. So we run, we get in his truck, we're all in there. We leave the cornfield, we get to his driveway, we all come out. And I'm like, I don't know when the fear left, but I do know that I have no idea when it left. I do know that when we got there, it was gone. And we got out of the truck, and I'm like, wait, what just happened? Why did we run? I'm not a runner. It was whatever was going on out there, we were not supposed to be there, and they had to get rid of us somehow, and that's exactly what happened. And just the hive mind, like everyone turned at the same time, we all ran, nobody said, "Oh my God," or "What is that? Run, run, run," like there wasn't anything. And it was just this hive mind, and it's so creepy. So the whole way I'm driving home after this, because we ended up back in the field like less than 30 minutes, because I'm all like, by the time we're back in the driveway, I'm back in, chase mode. I'm in investigator mode. I'm like, "Oh my God, there's a being there. We have DNA. We have footprints. We got to get back out there." I could follow everything we did, not one print around that other one. So, it kind of ruled out a hoax or whatever, because there was no footprints bringing the little, fake in it. And you can't fake those eyes. You just can't. Sorry. I know what I saw. And that was crazy. Yeah. I kept driving home, and that night I'm just like, bull crap. No one gets everything in one night. What just happened? And it was almost a shock. Like I had to go through a process because I'm like, I know what I saw, but I'm also my investigator mind's like, that's just stupid. It's just like, what the what? And yet it was what the witness was reporting the whole time. So, and he was very credible. He is actually a major sports figure. I don't follow the sport, so I didn't know who he was. But the other investigator was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. When we pulled up, she goes, oh, my God, do you know who that is? I'm like, no. I know exactly who it is because of his name, but what are you talking about? And he's a major national, like most people would know exactly who he was. So it's one of the reasons that he maintains, you know, confidentiality to this point. But I'm hoping one day he's going to come out. I really do. Because if he came out and told what he saw, it brings a whole new credibility, because I know I'm an investigator and trusted out here, but you know, for someone of his caliber to come out and say this, so we'll see.
How many people in that group saw that alien?
Only two of us, because what I didn't know for 2 weeks, because one thing we didn't do, we didn't talk about what we each saw. We had to be in interviewed separately. I didn't find out for 2 weeks that the other investigator was further ahead than us, and when she turned to run to the truck, she was already past it. But I didn't know for 2 weeks that she hadn't seen it. Only me and the witness did.
Chase, how do you, reeling back, how do you describe that terror? Was that terror projected into you, or some defense mode of your psyche or your system?
100% was not fight or flight. 100% was not like, I'm scared, I'm running, or even just that almost numb fight for flight. This was, I felt it enter my body. Every single cell in my body was in full-blown terror. And terror doesn't even describe how bad it was. It was like, I just remember turning and running. And the feeling you have, that kind of fear, is really indescribable. There are times when I'll be driving at night by myself, and especially on country roads or whatever, coming back from investigations, and I almost start feeling just a fraction of that, and I have to pull over with my car and just get out and get fresh air, because I never want to feel that again. It's excruciating.
Wow. And so you say it sort of went into your molecular structure. The fear went way down, and not superficially in your brain, but further deep into your system.
The only way I can describe it, and that's a good word, is molecular, because I could tell you, I knew for a fact every cell in my body was in complete terror at that moment.
And that's interesting, because I could juxtapose that with something that happened to me on the other side. I asked God a question one time, and he answered it, to my surprise, because I asked a facetious question, sort of mockingly, and he answered, and the answer went to my molecular components. It wasn't in my head, it wasn't in my brain, wasn't in my ears, it was in there. So there may be a realm that is accessed by either negative energy or spiritual components, or the good side too as well. Susan and I, one time, this is no way compares to the fear that you're describing here, but we were in the Ozarks on an ATV. We went way down this trail. Both of us felt at the same time like a shock and a terror that somebody was there and they were chasing us. And so, like, I'm on a road, and we got to get the hell out of here. And we turn around, and we were like flying up there in the fear of our life. And we didn't see anything, but it was a feeling just hit us. At the same time, there was somebody there, and it was somebody chasing us. But I can tell you from what you're describing, it wasn't too molecular, but it was like there's a warning that went off. And I'm sure we have some level, you know, of intuitiveness that can, you know, when you see an evil person or something, there's a level of that. But it sounds like you went to something that was so real and terrifying that it went way deep.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, the elevation of fear, I don't think, is the most important part. I think what you experienced, which was, it's physical. This isn't, like you said, not in your ears, your brain, your eyes. I mean, you know, so that's something that I hear all the time. People tell me, I know that, or I don't know that fear, but I know what that body is. And to be controlled like that is just something that bothers me to this day, because I had absolutely no control over what I was doing. None. In fact, I remember the only thing I really remember is that light going like this and me thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I'm running this fast, because the waters had just receded. This was muddy, muddy, you know, cornfield, and I'm just hauling, and I'm not a runner. So I was just shocked. So, I mean, there's a lot of different components. Of course, a lot of detail was left out for time, but.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody's watching, we have the entire testimony from Chase in our YouTube channel. You can just search her name. Various interviews will come up. And that was, I think we just actually have a single interview just of your testimony with that event. Besides having the complete interviews of others, we isolated one and just put it up by itself so people can get the entire video. You were involved with the Extraordinary the Seeding. Did you ever talk to any of the abductees?
I have talked to a lot of abductees. I talked to not all of those that were in that film, but they were scrutinized completely. And there was even a part, as an associate producer of that film, also I appear in it, but it's something where I... there's just something about those people. That is not where we were going with the film in any way, shape, or form. And it started turning out to be their story, not what we wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to say it, but it's profound. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of that film. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had a very small role as associate producer, but I'm so proud of that film because it really put something out there. And these guys, every one of them was vetted, like to the point of almost kindergarten. It's just crazy.
Well, my question related to that is, did any of the abductees describe the type of terror that you described?
Not that I'm aware of. They had a different type of fear because I'm not an abductee as far as I know. And if I am, I don't want to know. I'm good. So they have a different, it's a whole different take. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine not having any control over, all of a sudden you find yourself, these excruciating, painful experiments are being done on you. You're impregnated, and then they take it later. And we have witnesses that have photographs of them being pregnant, and literally 3 days later, there's no trace they were at all. And so what's going on with these babies? And for any mom, and dads too, but really for a mom to have to go through something like that and wonder what happened, it's just, the psyche of this is just brutal. So, and you know, why would there be a hybrid program between aliens and humans or whatever? I don't know, does Satan need an army?
Well, I hear tell that he's building one, kind of like the orcs, and you know, they're not good creatures. Have you ever seen them? So, well, Chase, we're getting near the end of the broadcast. It's been a lot of fun once again. Sorry about the technical difficulties in front. We'll edit, magic of editing, we'll produce a great video. But anything that you came prepared or thought we would talk about that we haven't? This is that time.
I think basically, just what's going on with the Intel committee and, you know, Marco Rubio really pushing this forward. And, you know, these are briefings that are being done. It's just profound when you really think about a UFO investigation team out of the Pentagon. And it wasn't just ATIP. It goes on to this day. And they just called them out and said, hey, you guys need to start letting us know as Intel and Armed Services Committee what you know, because this isn't good and we don't like it. So, I mean, it's just huge right now, and it's just rolling out, and there'll be more coming out because it's drip, drip, drip. Trust me, there's more to come.
Wow. All right. Well, Chase Klosky, I appreciate you coming back on the Edge television broadcast. Can we have you back again sometime?
You are my favorite host. I am not even doing interviews right now, and I said yes only to you. Oh, and man. I will come back anytime you want me.
Oh, that's awesome, Chase, man. We love talking to you. Appreciate you. You guys stay safe out there in the mountains. And really, thanks again for coming on the program.
Always. Thank you, Daniel. You guys rock. And tell Susan I said hi.
I sure will.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, bye.